good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry. Over the weekend, there were protests around the country, especially at airports, in response to Donald Trump's executive order banning entry for Muslims from seven countries he doesn't do business with: Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. It indefinitely suspended the admission of Syrian refugees.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on.
None of the countries which Trump does do business with are included in the ban. This even though countries like Saudi Arabia have deep ties to terrorists. And the executive order is a white supremacist order which carves out religious exceptions for minorities like Christians. And it's the alt-right white nationalist Steve Bannon who has had his hand in this immigration policy. He has now been named to a seat on the National Security Council. It gives him access and the ability to shape the country's most sensitive intelligence operations. Richard Cohen is president of the Southern Poverty Law Center. He says Bannon, Trump's whisper-in-chief, is trending on dangerous ground.
The chief strategist in the White House, a man who rallied a growing white nationalist movement behind Trump, is now telling the news media to, quote, keep its mouth shut and just listen for a while. We should all be outraged and a little more than unnerved. We all know that conservative politicians have been trying to delegitimize the mainstream press for decades. And indeed, conservatives have created a constellation of alternative media more to their liking, Fox News and Rush Limbaugh being the most obvious examples. But with Trump, we're witnessing something different, something insidious, something that seems pathological. It was disturbing enough to see the president's press secretary lie about the size of the crowd at Trump's inauguration, reportedly because Trump was outraged by the newspaper coverage. It got worse when Trump's operative, Kellyanne Conway, described the lies as alternative facts. Then Trump told a gigantic, more consequential lie when he insisted that as many as 5 million undocumented immigrants voted illegally, costing him the popular vote. That led to Stephen Bannon telling the New York Times that the media had been humiliated by Trump's victory and should keep its mouth shut and just listen for a while. In other words, stop reporting the facts because they put the lie to Trump's alternative reality. Just listen to Trump. Meanwhile, journalists have reported that the administration is clamping down on information that routinely comes from government agencies. So, in addition to banning Muslims, the Trump administration is now trying to ban information. This is what dictators and totalitarian governments do. To maintain their propaganda, they must muzzle the institutions that reveal the objective information, the facts, that should inform policy decisions. Without this information, democracy simply cannot function. Without a vigilant press and without the free flow of government information, Trump can lie with impunity. He can govern based on alternative facts that he gets from far-right extremists and conspiracy theorists and websites like Breitbart News. Voters, meanwhile, will have no way to get the truth. This is a perilous situation, one made worse by people who have Trump's ear, specifically Stephen Bannon. During the campaign, Trump repeatedly said that he was just the messenger for the angry movement he was leading. He repeated the claim on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial the day before the inauguration. Based on the lies, fear-mongering, and xenophobic policies that we're already seeing, it appears that the president really is channeling a movement, one embodied by the person whispering in Trump's ear, Mr. Bannon himself. It's important that we never forget who Bannon is. He's the media executive who, in his own words, turned Breitbart News into, quote, the platform for the alt-right. The alt-right, or the alternative right, is simply a rebranding of white nationalism for the digital age, and an alt-right gathering held shortly after the election, just a few blocks from the White House. Richard Spencer, a man who invented the term alt-right, a man who has been lauded by Breitbart as an intellectual, quoted Nazi propaganda and prompted Sieg Heils from the audience. During his campaign, Trump shared links to Breitbart's racially charged content with his Twitter followers more often than he linked to any other media outlet. Another outlet that linked to Breitbart more than any other, the neo-Nazi website Daily Stormer, whose proprietor on election night exulted that Trump was our glorious leader who had ascended to God Emperor. Now, Bannon sits at the right hand of the president and wants to silence the legitimate news. He wants Americans to get their news from websites favored by neo-Nazis, like Breitbart News. He also wants a place on the National Security Council. We should all be very, very alarmed.
Richard Cohen is president of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Trump's Muslim ban is having an effect on airlines throughout the world. Air France said it was informed Saturday by the U.S. government of the new restrictions and that it had no choice but to stop passengers from boarding U.S.-bound flights. One New Yorker caught in the web is a CUNY grad student, Saira Rafi. She has been blocked from returning from Iran to finish her studies. This afternoon, students held a rally over Trump's executive order at Hunter College. Yari Rodriguez is a recent CUNY graduate with the Internationalist Club.
Saira was traveling back from Iran, where she is a citizen, to resume her work and studies at the CUNY Grad Center. And she was in transit by way of Abu Dhabi when she was forbidden to board a plane to New York, and she was detained for almost 18 hours. She's been able to fly back to Tehran, but she's still barred from entering the United States.
Rafi was at the airport with 11 other Iranians. Rafi is a CUNY political science doctoral student in New York City through an F-1 visa. She's a member of the Professional Staff Congress, the teachers' union at CUNY. The Internationalist Club is planning more actions. Iran's senior vice president is calling President Trump's executive order on travel and visa process ban illegal, inhuman, and against human rights. Ishak Jahangiri says the order should be reviewed at the international level. Pakistan's interior minister says Trump's executive order will hurt global unity against terrorism and could backfire and help terrorists achieve their goals. The minister, Chandri Nisar Ali Khan, said the U.S. administration's measure will add to the miseries for the victims of terrorism world over, as Muslim countries were the ones most hit by terrorism. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said the necessary and determined fight against terrorism in no way justifies a general suspicion against people of a certain faith, in this case, people of Muslim faith or people with a certain origin. Merkel added she believes the U.S. action contradicts the basic concept of international help for refugees and international cooperation. Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, says suspending entry for refugees from Syria into the U.S. is putting lives in danger, that it will effectively keep people trapped in war zones, directly endangering their lives. UN agencies, meanwhile, express hope that the U.S. will continue the tradition of protecting refugees. Dian Penn reports.
The agencies pointed out that the needs of refugees have never been greater, adding that the U.S.'s resettlement program is one of the most important in the world. It has created a win-win situation, they said, saving the lives of vulnerable people who have in turn enriched and strengthened the societies in which they have settled. They expressed hope that the country will continue what they described as its strong leadership role and long tradition of protecting those who are fleeing conflict and persecution. They also underlined their commitment to working with the U.S. authorities on the common goal of ensuring safe and secure resettlement and immigration programs. We strongly believe that refugees should receive equal treatment for protection and assistance and opportunities for resettlement, regardless of their religion, nationality, or race, they stated. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
Meanwhile, the UN says it received assurances that the Trump administration's ban on travelers from those Muslim countries won't affect UN staff members. UN spokesperson Stefan Dujarric said a handful of UN staff members traveling on G4 visas, which allow non-diplomats to work at UN headquarters in New York, were kept from boarding planes over the weekend. Dujarric reiterated that the UN very much hopes that the measures put in place regarding refugees are temporary, saying the U.S. has been a critical partner of the United Nations organization in resettling refugees. Over the weekend, on Saturday afternoon, New York Representative Nydia Velazquez and Jerry Nadler rushed to JFK Airport, and they secured the release of an Iraqi being detained who had papers and whose job was translating for the U.S. government.
Mr. President, look at us. This is America.
New York Representative Nydia Velazquez, always a champion of immigrants and refugees.
What you have done is shameful, it's un-American, and it's created so much confusion, not only among working families and families in America, but also it's creating confusion with the people that are working in Homeland Security. This executive order is arbitrary. It doesn't provide real guidelines. And it's unjust. Here we have refugees who were granted legal visas to enter this country, and yet they have been detained illegally.
Meanwhile, on Saturday, protesters had gathered in force at JFK. The New York Taxi Alliance issued a work stoppage. Taxi drivers joined the protest at JFK. The union with 19,000 members said, "We know all too well when government programs sanction outright Islamophobia and the rhetoric of hate is spewed from the bully pulpit, hate crimes increase and drivers suffer gravely, and our sick and other non-Muslim brown and black members also suffer from anti-Muslim violence." On Saturday, as Uber violated the work stoppage, thousands of young New Yorkers deleted Uber from their smartphones. And on Saturday, the ACLU challenged Donald Trump's executive order in the Eastern District of New York, and a stay was issued nationwide, a temporary injunction that blocks Customs Border Enforcement from returning people stranded in U.S. airports across the country. The NYCLU's executive director, Donna Lieberman, says the organization is very proud of their victory, but they recognize that there's much disinformation.
The executive order, which we call the Muslim ban, went into effect immediately, and people were detained at JFK International Airport and at airports around the country beginning the early hours of Saturday morning. On Saturday night, with thousands of people demonstrating at JFK and at the courthouse, a federal judge in Brooklyn issued a stay pursuant to a challenge that was brought by the ACLU and other organizations to temporarily stop refugees and immigrants from being sent back to where they flew in from. We don't know for sure if all of the detainees have been released, and we don't know how many people have been deported pursuant to the executive order. We're proud of our victory as the ACLU, but we recognize there is so much more to be done, and that there is a lot of mixed information, conflicting information coming out of various sources. The White House says nobody is still detained, but our attorneys and attorneys from and volunteer attorneys at JFK and elsewhere are telling different stories. And our attorneys who were at JFK all weekend will share their observations. Supposedly, green card holders were not going to be detained, but that was not the case. There have been estimates of a high of 50 people detained at JFK. And in New York, Attorney General Schneiderman has demanded to see a list of all people still being held at JFK. This information is critical. When we have names, we can count the numbers. When we don't have names, we're left to conjecture.
We at the New York Civil Liberties Union are hearing about people detained at airports, forced to sign documents waiving their rights without access to legal counsel, and stranded in other countries and not allowed to return.
Mariko Hirase is with the NYCLU.
Many of these people are students who are trying to get back to their schools for the new semester or employees trying to get back to work.
Jordan Wells, also with the NYCLU, says volunteer lawyers and interpreters have been assisting families trying to reunite with their loved ones.
We heard concerning reports throughout the weekend of family members who, despite the stay issued on Saturday by the court, were still being put through some sort of process where which required the highest levels of CBP to weigh in on individual admissions into the United States and sign off on admissions as high as the commissioner of CBP, which...
CBP is?
Oh, CBP is Customs and Border Protection. And so they have officers at each of the port of entries, and they also have D.C. offices for the highest levels of the organization. And what we were being told by numerous sources is that the request to be admitted into the country pursuant to these valid visas and pursuant to a green card holder just traveling back to the United States, that was having to go all the way up the chain of command, which created massive delays and, of course, also forced these folks to be detained. We heard of LPRs that were detained for 8 hours or more during the weekend. And LPR is a lawful permanent resident, same thing as a green card holder. Despite the court orders, we're hearing of people that are being detained for extended periods of time while CBP investigates those people. We want CBP to obey the court order and return to processing admissions into the United States the way they were doing it on Thursday before the Trump executive order turned everything topsy-turvy.
Meanwhile, the world's largest body of Islamic nations told the Associated Press it has grave concerns over Trump's ban. The 57-nation Organization of Islamic Cooperation issued a statement today warning that such selective and discriminatory acts will only serve to embolden the radical narratives of extremists and will provide further fuel to the advocates of violence and terrorism. It called upon the U.S. to continue to provide leadership and hope at a time of great uncertainty and unrest in the world. Meanwhile, New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo has taken action to protect the legal rights of immigrants being detained at New York airports. Andrea Sears reports.
Immediately after President Trump signed an executive order banning immigrants from 7 predominantly Muslim countries, officials began detaining those arriving at U.S. airports, including refugees and green card holders returning home. Several have been detained at JFK, and thousands of New Yorkers poured into the airport to protest. Speaking at his New York office on Sunday, Cuomo offered legal assistance to those being detained at the airport.
We are a nation of laws. Why? So an executive cannot, by fiat, exercise a theory or a practice that is violative of the laws.
Cuomo announced that lawyers from the governor's counsel's office would serve as counsel for any detainees in need of legal assistance. Refugees also are being detained at airports around the nation. The federal government is not releasing any information on those who are being detained, including their names, to help identify those who are being held. Alfonso David, counsel to the governor, said the state has created a toll-free number
for family members and friends to confidentially report passengers who were scheduled to land at New York airports from any of the 7 countries that are identified in the executive order, but did not.
The original executive order was being applied to legal permanent residents of the United States returning home after visiting family, as well as immigrants and refugees. Responding to an assault against a Muslim airport worker last week and an increase in bias attacks nationwide, Cuomo also announced that he'll be introducing new legislation to increase penalties for attacks on transportation workers.
We call the law the Transportation Worker Protection Act, We will be introducing it this week, and hopefully we can get it passed on an expeditious basis because of the severity of the situation.
Rabia Khan, a cabin cleaner at JFK, had been physically and verbally assaulted by a traveler. Hector Figueroa, president of 32BJ, the Service Employees International Union, praised the governor's action.
This is a step that clarifies that airport workers are subject to the same protections that a bus driver or a subway operator is.
The law will make assaulting any transportation worker a Class D felony with a penalty of up to 7 years in prison. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
In other local news, in Albany today, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio testified on New York City's budget, but he faced some tough questions on the 5-cent fee he wants to impose on single-use plastic bags. Lawmakers want to delay the fee while they look into it some more, along with a recycling program just for plastic bags. New York State Senator Simcha Felder held up a loaf of Wonder Bread.
Mr. Mayor, do you know how much a pound of bread costs today? Do you know how much a dozen eggs cost the regular family? Well, let me tell you, I was in this local shop a week ago, and a mother came in with a few children and put down whatever she wanted, and they did not have enough money. And the store owner said this was the price, and she had to put back sliced cheese. So, again, the issue is not about protecting the environment. That's, everybody agrees. The crisis, you mentioned very clearly. I never said it shouldn't be given priority. You know, when I got into this business, somebody said, when they ask you questions that you don't want to answer, you answer whatever you want. You don't have to talk about what they asked you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about regular New Yorkers and why the city has to be punitive all the time. It's just not fair. Every poll has shown that most New Yorkers oppose a tax. The question here now is not whether we have to do something about the environment. Everyone agrees, no matter how many times I say it, you say it, everybody else. We are not going to make this debate about whether the environment is or is not important. It is, period. How do you get it done? Why can't it be positive? Why don't you give a nickel back to New Yorkers for every bag they don't use? A nickel back for a change. Reward positive behavior. Implement the law that exists. Force store owners to do what they're supposed to do for the last 10 years, have recycling bins in front of the stores so that people can recycle. What are we doing? We're not taking the nickel and putting it to protect the environment. We're giving the store owners another nickel profit. From who? From poor and middle-class New Yorkers. So that's not protecting. Recycle. We educate. Give them back a nickel. Give them reusable bags. And what about incentivizing businesses? Patagonia uses recycled plastic to make clothes. Trex use recycled bags to make synthetic lumber. Why can't New York City? You talked about a mansion tax before. This is a mansion credit for the 1%. The mayor always talks about the 99%. Well, let me tell you, this is a 99% tax on the 99%. It's a credit for the 1%, because the people who have limousines, chauffeurs, nannies are not dragging their groceries. They're getting them delivered or brought home by somebody else. It's irrational and it's punitive. The issue is not whether we want to do something or not do something. The issue is why New Yorkers have to be overtaxed, overfined, overticketed, and can't be treated like mature adults instead of like children who you decide you can't discipline any other way and smack them across the face over and over by charging them. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
New York State Senator Simcha Felder speaking out against the 5-cent fee on single-use plastic bags today in Albany. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Monday, January 30th, 2017. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.
I was born by the river like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gonna